Here's a practical definition, if you want to follow along in your outlines there. A practical definition of faith would be this: acting like it is so, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God said so. Think about that. It's acting on faith, even when it seems like the thing you're acting on isn't present or strong enough or big enough or full enough, but you start acting out in faith because God has promised it. Then all of a sudden, faith gets ignited in our lives. Faith is so important to our spiritual growth because it's the mechanism that God has given us where we can tap into the spiritual realm and hear him for ourselves, and we don't have to trust in just our five senses. You know, it's easy to believe in faith that there's a podium here because I can see it, I can touch it, I know it's there. I don't have to have faith to know that. But faith is about believing in the things that you can't see, as we'll see in just a moment. It's not about trusting your five senses. It's about trusting the Word of God, his promises, and the Holy Spirit that's in our life. The Bible states this. It says, if you remember, see if you can help me with this, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Right. It's impossible. So this is why it's so important. If we blow by faith and just say, yeah, got it, I know this one. Yeah, I have faith in God. I'm asking you today not necessarily just do you have faith in God. I'm asking, do you exercise your faith? Because it's that kind of a faith that catches God's attention. You see, faith is not a do-it-yourself kind of faith, nor is this kind of faith I'm talking about a magic wand that we wave over circumstances and we can manipulate God and make him do what we want. This faith is one it's put into action as we're growing in our spiritual walk and in our maturity with God. But it's going to require us, probably, to let go of some things. We need to be able to trust him. You know, I think of my daughter when she was 3 years old. We had a washing machine and a dryer down in the basement, and it sat on a little concrete, raised up a little bit. My daughter was just tall enough to reach up and grab the top of the washer. When she grabbed it, she committed fully, grabbed onto it, but her feet were dangling. She couldn't touch the ground. We were in the next room and watching TV, and I heard this little tiny voice, help me, help me. And I thought, where is that coming from? Again, we heard it, help me, help me. We muted the TV, and I went in there, and I saw my daughter hanging on the washing machine. And she's crying out, help me, Daddy, help me. And I said, Drea, what are you doing? You know? And she's like, Daddy, help me, please help me. And I said to her, Drea, you're an inch off the ground. Let go. To which she said, no, Daddy, I can't. I can't. I'm scared. I'm scared. And I said, Drea, it's going to be okay. Trust me. Let go. And she says, I can't do it, Daddy. So what happened was, is I went over, like hopefully a good father, I hope I am, and I grabbed my daughter and I set her down. And I said, Drea, I said, all you had to do was let go. But then I thought in that moment, when Drea couldn't even let go and drop an inch, it's like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Jim, how many times have you been hanging on to something? You've been an inch away from the miracle I want to do in your life, and you cried out to me and said, Jesus, help me. And I told you to let go, and you couldn't. You see, faith says we're going to let go and trust God. Because sometimes it can feel impossible. Sometimes life can feel very difficult. Can we get a big amen on that one? You know, it's challenging, but the question remains, do you still place your faith in God? Do you believe? That's what it boils down to. Do you believe God when he speaks that he's going to come through and have your back, Jack? Do you believe that God's going to be there when you need him, even when it seems like, feels like, looks like he's not? This is why he said in Matthew, this is Matthew chapter 11. It's not in your outlines, but it's Matthew chapter 11, 25. He was speaking to the Father, and he said, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. And I thought, that's an interesting scripture right there. He said, thanks for not giving it to all the smarty pants over here who think they know it all. Thank you for giving it to them, people like me, who don't feel, think at times like we can do it, but we're going to trust him anyway. You see, there's a big difference between childish and childlike, right? There's a big difference. And when it comes to faith, there's some things that we must look at, because how many times have we had this thought process, if I just had more faith, I could do so much more for Christ? But you see, that's kind of a wrong thinking. You already have all the faith you need to do the things for Christ that he's called you to do. Or maybe we've had this thought, if I only had a greater faith, I wouldn't have to live down here in the dumps. I could have some victory in my life. We just sang about it this morning. I'm going to see the victory. Did you believe, I'm not asking you to answer, but did you believe it when you sang it? Or was it just another worship song? You know what I mean? Because living by faith means I'm not only proclaiming and singing it, I'm going to make it part of my life because I have all the faith that I need. Now, it doesn't mean that you always feel like you do. But his word is letting you and I know that we have all the faith that we need to accomplish, to gain the victory. So if you've ever thought these thoughts, or maybe even said something like this, I have good news for you today because, and it's this, you don't need more faith. Jesus said that even the faith the size of a mustard seed could move mountains. You've probably looked in your outline by now and thought, why is there a little booger on that thing? And, you know, what is that? That's not there by mistake. By faith, somebody in the church taped one to every one of your outlines for you, which had to be very tedious. But that's a mustard seed right there. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of this teeny tiny little thing that's in the outline, if you can have that much faith, mountains can be moved. Now, when you look at that, don't you think you could have that much faith? Really? And I know there's some days where you're like, no, not even half that. And we have those days. But overall, don't you think we can have that much faith? Don't do it. I'm just kind of talking right now. But let's say you took that off there and you threw it into your purse. Walked around for an hour. Now go find it. How long is it going to take for you to find that thing in your purse? Well, I know. Everybody's got a different purse size. I know some ladies have purses for their purses and then a bag for their purse that carries their purse all those good things. But how long would it take for you to find that? Or guys, take it off, peel it off, stick it in your pocket, and you'd be like, well, that's much easier than a purse. I would agree, but still, if I had to stick my hand in my pocket to look for a mustard seed, I'd probably be like, hold on, man, I got to pull my pocket out and look around, because it's so small. It's not that much. And he says, can you have that much faith? That much faith. I challenge you. I don't know how you're going to do this, but I have faith that you will figure it out, okay? Stick this on your fridge. Put it in your car. Tape the seed wherever you're going to see it so that when you feel like the enemy or the world says you can't, you remember, no, I only need that much. I only need that much faith, and I can have the victory. Why? Because God's word says so, which brings it back to, do you believe what God's word says? So that's what it boils down to. So if you can have faith the size of a mustard seed, that tiny seed grows when it's planted into a big, beautiful bush that produces more. Here's what faith is not. Faith is not God saying that if you put faith in me, I'll give you whatever you want. That's not what faith is. No, if that were true, we wouldn't struggle or have such a hard time exercising faith, right? That would be easy. But faith is believing in that which you cannot see. When you put your faith in God and you trust him for the outcome, God gives us what we need. Not always what we want, but what we need. Sometimes we don't discover what that is until after we've gone through a few devastating things. Sometimes the chaos you're going through, the hardships you're going through, aren't because you did something wrong or because, you know, somebody cosmically is trying to punish you. It's just life that's happening and you're learning lessons through it. Or maybe I should ask the questions, are you learning the lessons through it? Because your faith will get you through it, your faith in God, as you learn the lessons. But even when we're going through tough situations, his word says, and I can reflect back to last week, God's grace is sufficient. No matter what you're going through, God's grace is sufficient. Because many times when we go through difficulties, we're so focused on the wrong thing in life. We're focused on what's wrong, and we're trying to fix everybody else. We're trying to fix everything else instead of just recognizing that God is trying to transform us in our lives. So when you're going through it, you know what I mean? Going through it, whatever it is in your life, when you're going through it, it's not more faith that you need. The question is, do you believe the little faith that you already have? Do you believe in that? Do you believe that God can use that and develop something to move mountains in your life? Why do I say that what you need is not more faith? Well, because there's nothing deficient in the faith that God has already deposited in you and me. There's nothing deficient with that. If the faith that you have is strong enough to save you from sin and keep you secure for all eternity, then it's strong enough to take you victoriously through any test or trial that you're going through. You learn in the midst of those trials. So again, the good news is we don't need more faith. We need to exercise or act upon the faith that God has already given us. Over in Hebrews chapter 11 is where we see what we call the hall of faith, or what maybe it's just me. I call it the hall of faith. It's where you see many of the heroes in the Bible who God told them to do something, and when they looked at it, they said, you got to be bananas. Now, they didn't say that, but that, you know, that's what I would have thought. But they said, but regardless, I believe in you, and I'm going to act by faith and do what you said. And when they obey what God said, amazing things took place, and they're recorded in Hebrews 11 as being great and faithful men. So Hebrews 11 talks about a faith where it's the ability to keep things, or it's to take things that God has spoken about in the future and bring them into the present. It's the assurance. Remember, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, right? That means they're not here. I'm hoping for them. So faith is the ability to look into the future and say, God, what do you say? And then bring that back to your present and live your life according to not what is happening in the present, but what God said about your tomorrows. Let me put it here. Hopefully a good illustration. How many of you have ever seen the movie Back to the Future? Anybody? Yeah, well, Michael J. Fox. And how many of you seen Back to the Future 2? Seen that one? See, now, kind of showing your ages too. You know, we all, people my age, were like, oh, I love that. I love that movie, right? Well, why do I bring that up? If you watch the movie, Back to the Future number 2, you'd see how Marty and Doc went into the future. And while they were there, Marty grabbed an almanac from the future. And he brought it back to the present. On that journey. So with the almanac, he could go from the future back to his current time. And now with that almanac, he could predict the outcomes of all kinds of sports. So obviously, his intentions weren't good or pure or healthy or right. But I'll tell you what, if I had got to travel to the future, that thought would cross my mind too. Don't look at me like it wouldn't cross yours. All right? So the purpose of him taking the book was so that he could get financial gain in the present, because he gained information from the future that would help him in the here and now. I'm here to tell you today and remind ourselves that God has given you and me a book that we can go and look ahead into the future and find out what God has to say about something, and then take that into our present so it can help us in the here and now. And the way we engage that is through faith. It's a faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is making visible the invisible, or making possible that which seems impossible. It's the conviction of things not yet seen. So if you don't see it, whatever it is, that you, maybe you're going through a difficult time, the doctors have told you one thing. You got a health issue that's going on in your life. You don't have the answers. You're going through a relational challenge. You got a change coming up in the workplace. Maybe you're just a young person trying to survive in your home, whatever that means. Whatever it is, when you take that and say, by faith, I'm going to believe in you, God, that I'm going to be okay through this whole process, then what you find out is you place your faith in the promise that God gave you. Because the world says this. The world says, seeing is believing, right? Take you to Missouri, the show me state, right? But faith says, believing is seeing. If you can place your faith and believe that God's going to come through, you're going to see it. You're going to see his answer. See, we believe that faith precedes sight. Now, right here is one of the very fundamental reasons that so many Christians get hung up, and we live, per se, a defeated life. Instead of proceeding by faith, being convinced what they can't see, it brings a kind of a destructive thought process in our Christian walk when we say, I'll have faith once I see it. That limits our ability to trust God and his promises, correct? Because he says faith is believing in the things that you can't see. And so if we say, I can't believe it until I see it, then what it's going to do is it's going to hinder our walk with Christ. It's going to limit us. So if you're waiting to see before you believe, then you're not living by faith. So if you say, I've got to see it before I'm going to believe, you negate the faith of God that's already been placed in your life. Here's what he said in Matthew 18, verse 3. He said, I tell you the truth. Unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, I love that, you will never, ever, 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 didn't say all those evers, I threw those in there, but it says you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. That's a pretty strong word. He says, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins, that's huge, become as little children, He says, you're never going to see the kingdom of God. That poses a question. What's the difference between becoming little children? Remember earlier I said childlike versus childish. And we have to know the difference when we're talking about faith. So let me give you a few of them, and then we'll get into how to work that into our heart and life. A childish faith says something like this. They have some to much fear. You can write that in your outlines. But a childlike faith has little to no fear. And this is how you can kind of use as a measuring stick, so to speak. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that if you've ever been afraid or if you've ever experienced fear, then somehow you don't have any faith. We all experience fear, right? We all experience times when we've gotten scared or afraid or we've gone through stressful situations. So I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that God looks at you and says, you're afraid? You're out. Go back to the dugout. You're not playing in the game today. He doesn't cut you out that way. What he says is, when you make that your permanent address and you live life in the state of anxiety or stress or fear or worry, then you become more childish. Childlike faith has little to no fear because they know who it is they're trusting. So what I'm talking about is when we allow fear to dictate or control our actions or our responses, then it limits what God can do with that faith in our life. We're going to face times when we become afraid, but that's when we must engage in the Word of God. When you become afraid, that's when you pull out 1 John and say, there is no fear in love. Because perfect love does what? Cast out fear. The enemy is going to show up and tell you one thing. You better be prepared to speak back to him. You have the authority. God gave you all the authority, gave you all the power. There's been many times the enemy comes and says, you're a failure. You know, you're not doing anything right. Nobody likes you. And if I have nothing but myself and the enemy's voice, I'm in trouble. I better know that greater is he that's within me than anything else in this world. And I better know that God has a plan and a purpose for my life. And if I don't know that, I'm sunk. But when I do know that, by faith, I act on that. That's the difference between kind of a childish and childlike faith. Here's the next one. A childish faith can be more arrogant and selfish, where a childlike faith has complete dependency upon Christ. Has complete dependency. Childish faith looks at self first and then to others. And then as a last ditch effort, they look to God. Childish says, what's in it for me? That's a childish faith. But childlike realizes there must be a complete dependency upon Christ. And there's going to be times when we feel confident in our walk, in our efforts, in our abilities. In fact, there's nothing wrong with feeling confident. But if you let that be the thing that boosts you up instead of faith in God, just know that all your abilities and all the things that you have and all the things that you've accomplished, they won't last forever. And they can fall apart, as I'm sure many of us have experienced. That's why we can't build faith on our accomplishments or what we did. Our faith must be completely dependent upon what Christ has done for us, because everything is a gift from God. Do this with me. On the count of three, we're going to take a deep breath and just exhale. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Oh, whew, that right there, that was a gift. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We didn't worry about where we're going to draw our next breath. By now, you've taken in maybe 3, 4, 5, 7 different breaths. You know what? You didn't think about that. By faith, you just breathed, because it's what you do. It's who you are if you want to stay alive physically. Well, in the same way, he says, that's what faith's supposed to be in our walk with Christ. If you want to grow spiritually, faith must become like that gift, or like faith, where you know it's a gift that God gives you, and it just becomes a part of who you are and a part of what you do. But too many times we try to run away from what God has done, or the rules or the commands. He doesn't put those there because he wants to be some kind of a cosmic killjoy in our life. He put them there because he wants us to experience life to the fullest. John 10:10. You're always going to have an enemy that's going to try to destroy it. It reminds me of the story of the kite that was flying one day, and the kite started to talk to itself. Just for the record, kites do not talk, okay? But for this illustration, they do. And this kite talked to himself and said, if only I could be free from this string that keeps holding me down. It was flying in the air, and it says, if I could just somehow be detached from this string, I could fly higher than I've ever been before. I could soar amongst the clouds. I could be free to be me. Well, one day, the kite got his wish. And the strong string finally broke, and as soon as it did, the kite came crashing down. What the kite did not know is that the same string that appeared to hold it back was the same string that kept it up. And that's exactly what faith does. A lot of times people say, I don't know why I need to have faith in God. I don't need to know why I need to grow spiritually. I don't know why. If I could just be free from all of that stuff, just free to be me and do whatever it is that I want to do. What we don't understand is that that growth, that faith in God, that feels like it's the one thing that's holding us back is the very thing that's keeping us up in the air, soaring wherever it is we are at that point. It's about faith in Jesus Christ. God wants us to trust Him to hold the string, so that we can soar higher than we've ever been before. Here's another one. Childish faith trusts no one more than self. A childlike faith has complete trust. Complete trust. I've shared this story before, but when my son went to get, he had pneumonia, and he had it really bad. I don't know how old he was. He was young. Nobody likes needles, no matter what age you are, but he was like 8 or 9 or something. And the doctor told me, we're going to have to give him 4 shots in his leg. Nobody wants 4 shots in their leg. So I've got to go and tell my son that he's going to be stabbed 4 times because that's, no matter how nice I say it, that's what he's going to hear, right? They're going to give you some nice little, you barely feel, he's going to be, they're going to stab me, Dad, you know? And I said, son, you have to have this. I said, you got to get these shots. And he starts crying. And I said, son, you've got to do this. And I said, do you trust me? And he looked me in the eyes and said, no. And I said, Seth, man, come on. I said, you know that I wouldn't do anything or allow anything to be done to you unless it was absolutely necessary. You know that, right? And he said, no. He protested, just like you and I do when God speaks to us a lot of times. And I said, listen, son, you don't understand. If you don't get these shots, you have pneumonia bad enough that they're going to put you in the hospital. So you either do this or you go into the hospital. Well, he reevaluated things. And I said, now, this is going to be tough, but here's what I want you to do. They're going to come in, and on the count of 3, they'll count it off for you. They're going to hit you with the 2, and they're going to hit you with the next 2, okay? So we can get it over with as fast as we can. And here's what I want you to do. I said, I want you to look me in the eye. And I sat right in front of them. And I said, I'm going to pull out my fingers, and you grab them. And I said, whatever you do, don't look at anything else but me. Look at me. Look in my eyes. And you squeeze my fingers as hard as you want. And because at that point, he could rip my fingers off and I wouldn't care because I love him so much, right? Well, that's exactly what he did. And he grabbed onto my fingers and I said, 1, 2, 3. Bap, they hit him and his eyes just go, They hit him again, boom. And we got it over with. But my fingers were destroyed after that. And I remember just saying right before he got those shots, I said, Seth, do you trust me? And finally he said, yes. He goes, I don't want the shots though, Dad. And I said, I don't want them for you. I would take them for you if I could, but I can't. Do you trust me? When it comes to faith, childish, childlike, the question will always remain, do you trust the Lord? I don't know why I'm going through this, Lord. Do you trust Him? Why am I facing this difficulty? Do you trust Him? He may not give you the answer you want at that point, but do you trust Him? That's the question that will always be on the floor. Now, let me fast forward to Hebrews 11 and show you 3 people that are going to teach us lessons and how we can incorporate this childlike faith and what we can do. And their names are Abel, Enoch, and Noah. They're found in Hebrews 11. There's a lot more people in there, but I'm going to draw them out because they're going to teach us how we can walk in faith and please God in our worship, in our walk, and in our workplace. This is how we can see this done. In Hebrews chapter 11, let me introduce you to the man named Abel. You remember him from Genesis, but here in verse 4 of Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. He had a testimony there. A great testimony. This incident, it goes back to Genesis chapter 4, and there's 3 things that God brings out in this. Apparently, God had revealed to Adam and his family the importance of worship. He said, what you bring into my presence, he says, is important. Cain and Abel were to bring offerings, so God must have told Adam that this is important. God also must have appointed a place to worship because Cain and Abel brought their offering to a specific place. So God was telling them, how to do it. And then also thirdly, God revealed that there was a time to worship because the text says that Cain and Abel came in the course of time. So worship was important to God. He says, I want you to bring to me the first fruits, and I want you to do it at this place, and I want you to do it at this time. Why is Abel considered a great man of faith? Because he listened to God when he didn't have to, and he did what God said. Cain didn't do that. Abel brought the best of the best, and he required the shedding of blood for the offering that was taking place. But Cain showed up with fruits and vegetables. Basically, he brought Jesus a salad, and he said, here, it's kind of second hand. He did what he was supposed to do, but his heart was not in it. He did not bring the best of the best, and he violated that. So we find Abel here that he's pleasing in God's worship. So my question to us this morning is this. Do we make room for God to grow in our faith through the avenue of worship? I'm not just talking about, I do, 8:30 and 10:30 on Sunday morning. That's great. I want you here, and I want us to worship together. That's important, and that's good. But do you do it any other time throughout the week? Did you know it's okay to sing worship songs in your house? You know that, right? I mean, we already play country and rap and pop and a little Hair Nation or something like that. You can worship in your home. There's times I've just done circles in my home and I'm worshiping the Lord. You can worship in your car. When I was a teenager, my speakers, I don't know how many speakers I went through because I'm jamming the radio and I'm banging my head around to Bon Jovi, you know, and all these different groups. If I can do that with some rock groups who can't help me out one bit, I can definitely do that for my Savior who can save me and cause me to grow in my faith. By the way, if you do that, I love doing that now. I jam, you know, I could be doing a preaching tape or something, and I'll just be acting like I'm jamming around, you know. People look at me, and you'd be like, you know, making faces and just having a good time. They don't know what you're doing, but they just see another Christian having a good time. They're having a good time. Maybe there's something to this whole thing, you know. And you can have a good time with that, but it's about incorporating that into who we are. Worship comes through many different facets. It's through music that you listen to. It's through the quietness. When Michael led us, he said, church, I just want you to spend some time and worship the Lord. Right there. It wasn't just about a song. It was about creating space for the Holy Spirit to move in your life. It's worship. You see, Abel understood that. And he says, Lord, I'm willing to give. But he was willing to give fully without having to ask any questions. And because of that, he pleased God in his worship. Let me introduce you now to a man by the name of Enoch. Enoch teaches us something about pleasing God in our walk with God, as we grow spiritually. It says in verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. I think that's a beautiful verse. I would love for God to be able to say, you know, you are pleasing to me. I mean, we all want to hear that, don't we? And if you have Jesus in your heart, one day you will when you stand before him. But Enoch's story is found back in Genesis chapter 5. Enoch was 65 years old when he became the father of Methuselah, who, by the way, was the oldest man who ever lived. And the Bible says that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. How many of you would like to be celebrating your 278th birthday right now, right? No, we're like, I can't wrap my head around that. But it says that he walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. So he was older than that. And then comes the crowning statement of his life in verse 24. It says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let me tell you something about living by faith. Faith submits to the will of God over the long haul. Over the long haul. For 300 years, Enoch walked with God. That is, he lived his life in the light of eternity so that his life would be pleasing to God rather than just about being pleasing to himself. Walking with God means giving up what you want because you'd rather have what God has for you. There's a little bullet in your outline. Write this down. Faith is not getting what you want. It's giving what you want in order to please him. In order to please the Lord. It requires faith to let go of that which you can't see so you can grasp that which you cannot. That sounds strange. You want me to let go of this outline that I can feel and I can see. Let go of that to grab something I cannot. That's why faith is called faith. Living for yourself doesn't require any faith at all, does it? I mean, that's pretty easy. We do what we want. But walking with God requires faith, because you're saying, ultimately, I now live to please God. I submit my will to God's will. I submit myself to God. 300 years, that's a long time to walk with God. Jude, in the book of Jude, we don't read much from Jude, but Jude, in verse 14 and 15, says something about Enoch. It says, and about these also Enoch, in the seventh generation of Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of their ungodly deeds, which they had done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, I just read that, and I know, kind of, you heard Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah. What does that mean? Because when I read that many times, I'm just like, okay, whatever, got it, ungodly, ungodly, ungodly. But what they're trying to point out is this. Jude's saying, Enoch looked ahead, and he saw the coming of the Lord. And because he saw that, he proclaimed the coming of the Lord, and then walked in that way. He saw what God had for him in the future and decided to live here in the now according to that standard and not just the standard of the day. Not living by his past, not even necessarily living by the present, but living according to the kingdom rules that God had. In other words, Enoch could live in the present because he saw the future by faith. By faith. Many people don't think that way. You and I, we can do that today. Many, many people don't live like that. What they live like, and hear my heart on this, but we live like the domesticated animal called the dog, right? Dogs just kind of think of themselves, don't they? As a matter of fact, I don't know if you're going to be able to see this clearly up on the screen, but that's our dog, Ollie, okay? If you're watching online, you can see it nice and clear. He is not getting some portrait or some specific shot. He was sitting next to one of Lisa's pillows, so I took a picture of it. And but that dog is, we got him, and we thought he was 4 years old. Turns out he was 4 months old. So, yeah, so we had our hands full. But he's a cute dog. We love him. He's a great dog. But guess what? That dog has no long-range plans for his life. Ollie, he has no retirement plan. I'll guarantee you, doesn't have one. The only thing my dog wants to know is this. When is it time to eat? When is it time to eat? Now, again, I'm not calling you a dog. I'm not calling myself a dog. But what I'm saying is if we're not careful, not living by faith is not much different than just sitting around going, when's the next time I get to eat? What's in it for me? What are you going to give me, give me, give me, give me? And that's the mentality that can slide in there. That's how a lot of Christians, if they're not careful, could end up kind of living their life. You see, you cannot live by faith just for today, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, not yet seen, in the future, for tomorrow. Faith looks out into the future and lives today in light of that. Now, notice this, that Enoch lived, his life was determined by how, the way he died was determined by how he lived as well. He lived for God in such a faithful way that when his time came, it says that God came and just took him up. He was so intent on walking with God by faith that it pleased the Lord. And it says that God raptured him immediately into heaven. You know, faith in our walk. The last man I want to talk about is a man by the name of Noah. And then we'll be done. But Noah teaches us this. Number three, how to please God in our work. How to please God in our work. Noah's life teaches us that faith is necessary in order to please God in the workplace. And verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Now, you and I know that from Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, in that neighborhood there, Noah was called a righteous man. He was righteous before the Lord. So this is about, we're not talking about just faith for an unsaved person. I need faith in Jesus Christ. True. But we're talking about a man who was a Christian. He was a believer. He believed in God. But now God is asking him to do something that just seems so mind-blowing. He says, I want you to build a boat. And I want you to build it big enough to put two of every animal in your family, because I'm going to make it rain. And he said, make it rain? What are you talking about? We've not seen anything like this. What we need that for? Geographically, if you look kind of where Noah spent a lot of his time, He was never really around places where he'd see a lot of boats or ships anyway, you know. And if he did, he had somewhat of an idea, but not like this. This is crazy. People are going to laugh at me and mock me and make fun of me. Are you sure this is you, God? Are you messing with me? You know, are you testing my faith right now? You know, and the answer was yes. Were you going to believe in that and act upon it was the question that was posed to Noah. Think about it. Noah had never seen rain because it had never rained like that before. And now he's being asked to do this crazy thing. Do you know how much faith it had to take for Noah to chop down that first tree? Do you know how much faith it must have taken for him to spend the next 120 years building a boat? Think of his neighborhood and all that. And, you know, there's old crazy Noah building a boat. You know, what a crazy old coot. That guy, you know, he cracks me up. But you see, he was functioning in faith. What seemed crazy to everyone else, when that rain started to come, everybody changed their mind. Everybody. But Noah, because his faith was in God, was willing to do the work that he was called to do. You see, during all that time, the only thing Noah had to rest on was the Word of God. And the Word of God said, it's going to rain. You and I, the only thing we have to rest on is the Word of God that's going to pull us through. Here's the great thing. We have the testimony of people like this that we can find in the Word of God. We have the testimony of others that have gone through difficult times. You can make it, but only when you place your faith in God. God may be having you build an ark right now, something that he's asking you to have faith in. That seems impossible. The question remains, will you trust him? Because remember this, it's the size of your God more than it is the size of your faith that makes all the difference in the world. If you can have faith that size right there, you get all the fullness that God has and the promises from his word to accomplish everything that he's called to be set forth in your life. That means this. Let me put it in practical terms. You're entering into a new season of life and you're worried about what the next steps will be. If you're faithful to God, he'll walk you through that. You're looking for a mate, a girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife. You know what? If you will have faith in God and trust him in his timing, he can lead you to that right person. Don't jump ship or short circuit, because then you only get second best. God has the best for you. Maybe you're here today. Financially, God's challenging you to give, or maybe it's a shift in your job. Do you trust him to hear his voice, to know what the next step is? Because it's not necessarily about the size of your faith. It's about the size of your God. He's so big that he can accomplish anything in our life. Let me close with this. There's a story of a dad who was with his daughter, his little girl, and he wanted to just kind of occupy her a little bit. So he had a picture, or he had a piece of paper. He had the picture of the United States of America on top of it. And so he ripped it up in pieces. I don't know how many, but, you know, enough that it was going to take some work when he said, I want you to put it back together. Kind of like a puzzle, you know, he just gave her something to do. And he thought that should occupy her for a while. And to his amazement, 5 minutes later, she came back. The puzzle was done. Everything was together. She had it all taped up and it was complete. And he said, how did you get this done so quickly? And she said, well, it was pretty easy, Dad, because on the flip side was a picture of Jesus. And she said, so I started putting that together. And I figured if I get him right, then the rest of it will come in focus too. I think many of us, when we talk about faith, what we have to do is not focus on what's wrong. Stop focusing on what hasn't happened. Start flip the script and focus on Jesus. And if you will start to put that in its proper place, everything else comes together. Remember, and never forget, it's the size of your God, not your faith, that makes all the difference in the world. And when you and I have childlike faith and act upon it, everything else falls into place. Amen? Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, and the way that you reveal yourself and speak to us. Lord, we thank you for the challenges you've even given us today to increase in our faith. Increase our faith. Lord, we ask you today that you will help us to increase our faith, but we know that asking that and praying that is dangerous, because sometimes when we ask it, more difficulties come our way. But Lord, there's nothing that's come to us that doesn't first pass through your hands. So, Lord, we know today that we can handle everything that comes our way, because great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, you give us fresh mercies, and your faithfulness fills us. I want to simply ask this, while you have all your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm just going to ask you, not to necessarily physically respond, but But I want to pray for you because I believe there's two groups, if I can say it that way, that God has been speaking to us today, and that's this. I believe there's some people here today that God is asking you to let go of the washing machine. He said, let go, and you're having a hard time doing that. You don't see it's only an inch. For all you know, it's an eternity. But God's asking you to let go. You've not been able to do it, and he's asking you today, will you let go? Because your faith is only increased when you let go of those things that you feel like you can hold in your control, and you completely trust in God. And then there's another group here today that God's calling you to start clinging, coming closer, drawing near. He's calling you to embrace something. You've been resisting it. For whatever reason, it doesn't matter. He's not here to condemn. He's just here to say, I want you to start embracing that. I want you to start embracing my words and my promises. I want you to start taking my words and realize they're not just verses that you memorize, but they're bullets in a gun that shoot the enemy down. Some of us, I think he's calling us to take those words and hide them in our heart. And I don't know which camp you're in, but I'm asking you today, that just in the quietness of your heart, as you see God speaking to you, that as I pray for you, that he will seal that in your heart. If you're watching us online, he's speaking to you. And you know who you are. His promises are not limited by a camera or a television. His promises cannot be held back. And so I want you to just agree with me today as I pray and say, Father, we come before you today and we humble our hearts, Lord, in your presence and say, Jesus, increase our faith. Lord God, we are not going to worry about the fear factor. We're not going to worry about the challenge because we've learned that the faith, the size of a mustard seed, if we can at least have that, it can move mountains in our life. So Lord, where we have not seen you move, we're believing because you said it that we'll see it. And Lord, where we need to walk in agreement with you more, Lord, we're asking that you would challenge us to do so. Father, I pray for those that are here today and that you've been calling them to just embrace, to cling, to draw closer. Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts. But Lord, even when our hearts don't necessarily feel stirred, that we will make a conscious effort to draw nearer to you and to grow in our faith. And Lord, for those of us that are here today, that we've been hanging on, and you're calling us to let go. Lord, I ask that you would help us, just like a dad would come and put his hands under the shoulders and lift them down. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to let go when we're afraid. Because we know that if we can choose to do both of those, that you increase our faith, our growth increases, and we see your promises fulfilled in our lives. So Lord, we receive those today, and we ask this all in your name. Amen, church.